Backseat Producers, episode 209, Season of the Witch. Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, this is Daryl.
This is Jill.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Booyah!
Welcome, Jill.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself for the people who might not know who you are?
Now,
your husband has been on the podcast a couple of years ago.
Yeah, my husband, Jeffrey Gerber, is a lawyer, IP lawyer, and is very familiar with the podcast.
You totally have mom voice when you say Jeffrey Gerber.
It's also probably teacher voice. I taught for 11 years, so it's probably teacher voice.
I hear punishment in that when you say his name.
At least I didn't use his middle name. Then he knows he's in trouble.
That's the kiss of death right there.
Exactly.
Middle name's always trouble.
Exactly. I have a background. When I was in college, I studied art history, but I did most of my concentration was in film, so thought it'd be kind of cool to come hang out and talk about movies.
Yeah. So, with the exception of Daryl, this is also the Spouses of Attorneys podcast.
There you go.
You need to find a lawyer chick stat. Or a lawyer dude.
Make that happen.
Pick one who doesn't have student loans, though.
Yes,
that's good. Piece of advice.
I don't know. Engineers do it for me.
It's the house you'll never live in. So the key is no student loans.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah, I'd like to find another field engineer so we can create a race of atomic supermen that will terrorize the world. Or at least the living room or something like that.
You're starting to worry me again, Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so next week.
I have already forgotten what we picked.
Heathers.
It was like 2 minutes. Ooh, I got to write that down.
Classic.
Send myself an email.
And it's available on Netflix streaming.
Is it?
Yeah.
Bonus.
Come on.
Yeah, I pick movies that are on Netflix streaming.
Thank you, Tony.
First off, I picked this movie, and it is
after
on Netflix streaming.
You picked that other movie that is not available for streaming anywhere.
What other movie?
Sex Drive.
That movie is awesome.
It is not available for streaming anywhere.
Doesn't mean it's not awesome.
I don't know about that.
Tony, I have a soft spot in my life for
movies with sex in the title?
No. Yeah. Yes. But also.
And Drive.
Yeah, also driving. Because that Ryan Gosling Drive movie was really good. Movies of the coming of age, adolescents are trying to lose their virginity. That's a plot hook that gets me every time.
And you don't like John Cusack?
I hate John Cusack. You know why? Because he's the virginity re-giver. You don't lose your virginity with John Cusack. You get it back. Joan Cusack.
Adam sucks dicks and cocks.
Is dicks there? No! What about cocks? No! Goddamn Hot Tub Time. She was so good. Despite John Cusack.
Because of John Cusack.
You know what's been really funny in that movie? You know how he meets that chick randomly in that house?
Yeah.
If that chick was Joan Cusack,
oh God, no.
That would have been hilarious. Because it's a parody of like every 80s movie ever, right?
Yep.
Gotta have Joan Cusack in there. You might as well make them the love interest. That would have been hysterical.
Mia Sara should have shown up at some point.
I don't know who that is. Take a drink. I can see that we're all really dancing around talking about Season of the Witch.
I wonder why.
Is it because you don't want to talk about Nicolas Cage because your discussion might summon him?
Just show up.
That would be awesome. Tony, I got a surprise for you. Nicolas Cage is going to walk through that door any minute.
Is he going to show off his new Action Comics number 1?
Did he buy that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Because that sounds like something like he's a huge comic book geek. So,
but I saw that somebody sold it the other day.
$2.1 million
Yeah, wow. I didn't know who bought it.
But man, that Nicolas Cage.
Is that really? God, I'm not gonna look it up.
I don't. I think it was an anonymous bidder, but that's the kind of thing he'd do.
Anonymous Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Was he anonymous because he didn't have a face? Because somebody had taken it off. Come on!
Oh, that was bad.
So
man, I work on this
that
material.
That movie was pretty good, though.
That movie was great.
I'll give you that.
That movie was good.
We true story. Originally, or not originally, once the podcast sat down, we were going to do a riff track to it, and we got about 10 minutes in, and it had been silent for 7 minutes because we were just watching the movie because it's so ridiculous. There's no riff. It's its own riff track.
As opposed to its own
self-parody.
As opposed to the time we recorded the episode over Sixth Sense and you fell asleep.
I fell asleep. I had some beers, but...
You were drunk.
I wasn't that drunk. I legitimately fell asleep.
He passed out.
Yeah.
I think I've
had some beers in the same way that Anheuser-Busch is a microbrewery.
Something like that.
I don't know what that means, but all right.
Well, to be fair, it was like an hour and a half in.
You had
a considerable amount of beer, and the couch was pretty comfortable.
This couch is comfortable, and it was like a billion late. It was like a billion o'clock. And Luke was here, so...
Yeah.
He's very warm.
Were you cuddling on him?
No.
Spooning?
Large. Emits
he radiates
heat.
Just like
a big doggy.
Sun.
Yeah. It's like curling up with the sun.
All right, so high-level thoughts, Daryl.
Okay. Good rainy day, Saturday afternoon movie.
Oh, that's a glowing review.
That's probably more generous than it needs, but yes.
Jill, what do you think? High level.
High level? Mm-hmm. It has Ron Perlman in it.
Yep.
That's about all I can say.
Saving Grace.
That is a good thing, though.
It could have been better.
Do you watch Sons of Anarchy?
Yes, I love Sons of Anarchy.
Did you see last night?
And Hellboy.
Did you see last night's season finale?
No, not yet. We have it taped, so.
Oh,
so don't give it away.
I won't.
But he's awesome.
I won't. But
he's awesome.
Before last night's episode, I could not figure out how they were going to end this season and have another season. Within the first 15 minutes, my mind was blown.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's great.
Good.
I want to like this movie so much. It's got so many elements that I love. Nicolas Cage, Ron Perlman, the dude who plays the Squire Knight dude
mm-hmm.
is the funniest character on Misfits, which is hysterical. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't watched it, you should go watch it because it's awesome. I actually love the feel, this kind of pseudo-superstitious, Dark Ages feel, but the movie is terrible. Even Nicolas Cage can't save this movie.
Well, it doesn't seem to have, what we were talking earlier, I don't think it knows what it wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to my 16-year-old because he loved it. He thought it was great. And I'm like, but what is it? Is it a bunny movie? Is it a redemption movie? Is it fantasy? It's like, well, of course it's fantasy. And I'm like, well, but you can figure it out right away, and there really isn't a lot of fantasy elements. And he's like, well, but it's set in the Dark Ages. And I'm like, yeah, and they got a lot of the whole theory behind the plague wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they kind of mixed a couple of things together that didn't exist historically. So, I mean, but he liked it. He's watched it 4 times.
I've seen it the one time I'll see it.
Tony,
my expectations,
it gets better every time you watch it.
No,
my expectations.
Today was my second.
Were super, super low, and it met my expectations.
As I said,
I didn't expect a lot out of it, and I got exactly what I expected.
Tony, let me run a theory I have about this movie.
I would have loved to see this movie if they would have pulled all the supernatural out and put more of what made Name of the Rose great into it. And that's a little more of the realism.
That's how I. That's
well,
how
but,
I
you're,
told.
But you're also talking about. I mean, The Name of the Rose was written by Umberto Eco, a linguist who actually knows the history.
This is how I sold the movie to Tony. It's The Name of the Rose for Nicolas Cage.
No.
You were a dick
even
for that.
The piece would have been. If
you
it,
were a
if
dick
Mark
for that.
It was a thriller. It would have been better. But you
Name
knew what was
Rose,
going on right
Name
away.
Name of the Rose was so good.
It's awesome.
Yeah, as soon as they
was so bad.
As soon as they had the scene at the beginning with the hanging, and then she comes out, it was like, oh, there is no more mystery to this.
The three people that they hung were the last three people who saw the movie before you.
Oh, I think that was the problem, was that there was no mystery. There's no mystery to.
Nope.
If they would have, that scene was completely worthless.
Yep.
Completely, and it actually ruined the movie.
Yep.
The whole movie. That one scene.
Tony, this movie is not. This movie does not deceive you. It tells you exactly what it is and doesn't lie to you. There's no deception. There's no trickery.
No.
This is the type of movie you take home to meet your mom. It's the Rick Astley of movies.
I don't know about that.
It's never going to run around.
No.
It's never going to give you
up. Excited either.
Nicolas Cage got on the screen.
No.
I was a little excited.
He was dirty, greasy hair.
Ron Perlman's acting circles around him, too. Oh, my God. It was...
Well, he had all the better lines. See, I mean, he got to play,
but
he
yeah,
played
but
to
not
play
enough,
straight man.
But not enough good lines.
See, the problem was... Is they killed the wrong person at the end, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Perlman should have been the hero at the end. Because Nicolas Cage, through every point, wanted to be the one to screw everything up. And Ron Perlman kept pulling back and saying, look, we need to do the right thing here. Not be a dick like you want to be.
I don't remember any of that happening.
He was going to kill her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the cage. He was going to kill her in the cage.
I watched this
and
movie
Ron
over,
Perlman
like,
stepped in front of him and said, hey, we're here.
End is in sight.
Hey, listen. I watched the movie over like 6 days.
With a laptop in front of him.
15-minute chunks.
S in the chat room says, it was sad to see Cage, quote-unquote, acting next to Perlman. I didn't want to keep watching it.
I did. Whoa. A little Christopher Lee action in the beginning, huh? Did you see that?
Yeah, that could have been anybody.
It could have been anybody.
It could have been anybody with a Christopher Lee mask on.
Yeah, what's the best part?
What's the point in having Christopher Lee if you can't even tell it's him?
So, this is what I want to believe about this movie. I want to believe that this movie is a parody of every fantasy story ever told.
No.
Nope.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
That is a big stretch.
There is a
this
national
is not
crisis.
This thing has absolutely no parody. It tries and fails miserably at that.
That's why I think it's so good.
Somebody with a special effects budget wanted an excuse to get to the point of having that demon at the end of the movie. And they put something together to get them to a point where they could have that demon and they could burn Ron Perlman alive.
Yeah. So, you know, a couple years ago when we did Stormcloud, where Luke wrote that story. And you know the only reason he wrote that story...
He wanted somebody to piss on a demon.
Yeah, he wanted somebody to piss on a demon.
He did that just to piss me off.
Yeah, he wrote an entire story because he wanted to have a scene where somebody pisses on a demon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Specifically despite me.
Yeah, that's what happened in this movie.
Yes.
That's why it's awesome.
That is not why it's awesome. Now, if this movie was called Pissing on a Demon, I would be fine with it.
What if I told you this movie was a ripoff of Luke's story?
No.
No.
Since this story was conceived back in 2000 and didn't get filmed till just a year ago.
Well, yeah, didn't they have to farm it out to like multiple production companies?
Yeah, it got sold as a spec script
that's
in
the
2000,
right there.
And the studio sat on it for almost 6 years.
And it got made in Hungary and Austria.
Listen, art through adversity, guys. Many hands in the pot produces a more quality.
No, it produces
experience.
Mulligan stew.
I don't know what
it
that
produces.
Means.
Hiv stew is what it produces.
I was thinking
it's
kimchi,
terrible.
But
yeah, kimchi. It wasn't actually a ripoff of anything. I'm making fun of Luke's story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I don't know what else to say.
I mean, well, put it this way. If you're stuck inside on a Saturday afternoon and it's snowing or raining and you got to want to kill 90 minutes, this is not a bad way to do it.
It was...
If it comes on...
It was a blessing it was as short as it was.
Yes, 90 minutes.
At least it wasn't 2 hours long.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of its redeeming qualities.
That was one of my favorite parts about this movie. That unlike the Kurosawa movies... Unlike the Kurosawa movies we just sat through, this movie was not 3 hours long. That was awesome.
Some of the fight scenes were good. I actually liked the scene with the wolves.
Really? That scene was awkward.
I thought it was...
Like, because that's not how that works.
I know it's not how it works.
Like, a 75-pound dog doesn't...
Fly onto the tip of your sword.
Yeah, and then, like you don't just catch things that do that. And flick it off. That's not how physics work.
At that point,
physics hasn't been invented yet.
I knew physics didn't matter for this movie.
Well, this was after the bridge.
The bridge was
so ridiculous.
Oh, man. Why did it collapse after they were already off of it?
I don't understand that.
Okay,
so they've got the rope, right? And so they're pulling the rope. Why didn't they just put the rope on the horses to begin with?
I don't know.
Like, why the tree? What did that accomplish?
They're trying to break it. The thing doesn't need breaks. They have to lower it down first. Although the way they did it was probably the worst possible way they could have done that.
Like it.
You wrap the rope around the tree and use it as a brace. You don't try to brace it up yourself as a pulley.
And then they were pushing it while the horses were pulling it. Yeah. And like they were doing any good.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah, the whole scene was just awkward. And second off, what the fuck is there a bridge like this in the middle of nowhere?
How'd they put it there? Seriously, how did they put it there?
I asked that question when we did Temple of Doom.
Yep.
And I didn't care then.
No, because in Temple of Doom, it doesn't matter.
In Temple of Doom, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Do you know why it was awesome?
Because it was action.
No, do you know why it was awesome?
Because it was Temple of Doom.
Because the bridge wasn't the obstacle.
No, you're right.
The bridge was a set piece, and the obstacle was Indiana Jones' will and not some stupid gravity.
Yeah.
That's why it was awesome. Because the conflict meant something, and it wasn't just, we could fall. Because that sucks. Now, when Indiana Jones makes us fall, then it's awesome.
Right.
Because he's got big balls and some stones.
Something about that part of that scene was one of the things that, if they would have taken a few things out throughout the movie, it would have been so much better. Like, the scene at the...
Tony, this movie was like an hour and 20 minutes.
You know what, though? They could have cut 30 seconds here and there, and it could have been a better movie.
Tony,
if they would have cut the hanging scene out, if they would have cut where she held the guy up with one hand out...
First off, that
because they could have removed those supernatural elements, and then still given you
which
the supernatural
all the story, yeah.
Reveal at the end that it's like the scene where they're running around in the dark... And the whispers, and the guy gets freaked out.
So this is another thing that confuses me about this movie, because the whole plot doesn't make any sense. So they want to take...
The plot
doesn't make any sense, because the demon's like, I want them to take me to where this book is, but like it's already plagued out that monastery, so it's explicitly stated that the demon is the source of the plague. If the demon has already plagued out the monastery... Why doesn't the demon just go there and
fly there and
go
get it? Yeah,
I mean, because clearly there's no issue with that.
Apparently, though, the demon is only possessing that one girl.
So why doesn't that one girl just go there?
I don't know.
Well, but that doesn't even make sense if you think about the initial opening scene, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd she let herself get captured again?
Well, it wasn't the same girl.
It wasn't the same
actress.
Girl, yeah.
Some old witch looking...
No.
Was it?
No, it was the woman who said all she did was make the salve out of the pig fat. So it was the one you didn't expect out of the three.
Oh, man. That was terrible.
I just think it had an identity crisis. I don't think it knew what it wanted to be.
I think that was
it. Threw everything
problem.
Into it. You know, like, why do you need to have the wolves changing in that scene? Why can't they just be a pack of wild wolves?
Yeah, more dramatic effect when it does, but yeah.
It's
just a waste of time. Yeah,
and it didn't play wolves out. They didn't obviously didn't have any special powers.
No.
Yeah. Because they're
just looking more.
They just jumped
more
into swords. Yeah.
Well, they got to eat that merchant's face off.
Face off.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm surprised you haven't made any rock references yet.
I have been trying to work a rock reference in. Really, the one I was getting stuck on was Ghost Rider.
Valley Girl.
Wow.
Weatherman. I mean, we can do this all day. Wicker Man.
Raising Arizona.
Matchstick Men.
Are you two done jerking off over there? Seriously.
Nicholas Cage is the greatest on high. Nicholas Cage is the greatest actor of our generation. Con Air. How did we forget Con Air? This movie was actually kind of Con Air. Half the people that got press ganged into taking this chick to the monastery were in prison.
That's true.
This movie is Con Air. The monastery is Las Vegas. The witch is John Malkovich. Nicolas Cage plays Nicolas Cage.
No. That's a little bit of a reach.
No. It works in here. The guy who... Cole Meany is Christopher Lee from the beginning. Because Cole Meany's kind of got like that Cro-Magnon brow, so you can't really see his eyes anyway. So, could be anybody.
That's like Ron Perlman, though.
It's also kind of like Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman, Steve Buscemi.
I don't remember enough Con Air, to be honest.
He was the pedophile. He was the creepy convict.
Yeah.
Well.
Ron Perlman in this movie, though, at least, I mean, he's more of the guiding force, where the creepy convict wasn't. I mean, he didn't spur on the plot.
I kind of imagine that how Ron Perlman is in this movie is how he just is all the time. Like, when he's not on camera... Like, because you ever think about, like, how an actor is just in normal life? Like, I imagine Nicolas Cage is kind of like Batman in normal life. Where, like, he wears a mask and talks all gravelly, just kind of around the house. Right?
He's never
like Big Daddy. He's like Big Daddy.
Yeah, he's like Big Daddy. Like, if you went over to his house and, like, you were sitting there and you're like, hey, Nick, you got, like, a beer or something?
I'm Big Daddy.
It's in the fridge. Like, I seriously think that's how we would hang out.
I kind of look at Ron Perlman as he is as Clay from...
No.
From Sons of Anarchy.
Especially
this last season. Like, I expect he'll like shoot my face off. Like,
he is so good in Hellboy. Yeah, so see? He plays kind of the same guy in this.
No, he's better in Hellboy. Hellboy's a much more complex character. That's what I like.
There's
about
no
it.
Yeah, there's no complexity to this character at all. None.
No.
But Tony, they're going to go back to his village, and they'll tell stories that few men have lived to tell.
Only they'll know the truth.
Yeah, but will anybody believe us? We'll know the truth. We'll know.
I hate voiceovers.
That wasn't the voiceover!
I know, but then there was the voiceover at the very end.
The voiceover at the end was the worst. Like, what is this? What are we talking about now? Like, seriously, what are we talking about?
Like, you weren't even a character in the whole movie until the last 3 minutes of it. And now why do you get the voiceover?
You know what the easiest way to destroy your connection with other characters is?
Sequel.
Oh. I hope not.
Oh, I would watch Christ. I would watch a sequel with Nathan and her going around exercising demons. I watched Supernatural for 6 seasons. I'm in for exorcisms. I dig the humans fighting the supernatural plot. That in addition to the 15-year-old trying to lose their virginity, plot hook that gets me every time.
Okay.
It's true, Tony.
Have we done Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No, I don't think we have.
It's a classic.
Nicolas Cage is in that one too, isn't he?
Superbad?
No.
No, I don't think.
But I've wanted to.
I think Heathers could kick off something here.
Tony, the Blood Brothers.
What?
Never mind.
Okay.
You haven't seen Superbad, have you?
I have. It's been a long time, though.
Did we see it together?
No.
I saw it at Gen Con.
You saw it at Gen Con. That I met.
That's how good it was. That's how good it was.
I was at that Gen Con, but you guys like disappeared and like for 2 hours. It's like where?
Yeah, then we came back.
Guys,
and we're like,
We went to see Superbad. What? Thanks for inviting me, dickheads.
What the hell? Hey, Tony, that's what you do. So, Noel backwards is Leon. Yeah, you know what this movie wasn't?
It was not Leon. We did it already.
Oh. Yeah, you know what this movie wasn't? Leon the Professional. That's what it
not
wasn't.
At all. In no way, shape, or form.
Did he die this year? Was that last year?
Who?
The actor.
Jean Reno? Jean Reno's not dead.
Everyone go to IMDb.
I might have a sadness boner, but I'm pretty sure he's still alive.
Harry Morgan died today.
Oh, bummer.
I saw that.
How old was he?
96.
He went to high school with my grandmother.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, there were people at work going, aw, really? It's kind of hard to feel bad for somebody who dies at 96.
Tony, I watched a shitload of MASH.
So did I. Mm-hmm. MASH was good.
Dad made us watch MASH a lot. And then I think I caught him crying when it ended.
Well, how could you not?
During the final episode?
No. Just like when the show was off the air.
Oh, well. It didn't go off the air for decades.
Well, then it went into syndication. So
well, yeah.
All over again. And over and over and over again.
That ride had to end sometime.
Considering it lasted two to three times longer than the actual war it did.
All right, so what else are we going to talk about with this movie?
I don't know. We're not even at 30 minutes yet.
Jesus. I think we flogged this movie pretty much dry now. There really isn't a whole lot there to talk about.
Just forgot to fall back on Watchmen. Oh, you know what we can do? Pull up that goddamn... Pause this, pull up that Batman article, and then we can read and discuss that. You know what I'm talking about?
That is trash. Several recordings.
We have unpaused the recording after reading the article.
All right.
I guess I'm going to have to link that article in the show notes. I'll forget to do that.
Yeah,
this
probably.
Is epically bad.
No.
But you can. Okay, so if
first
I
off, no one listens anyway. So
okay,
that's
fine. So if I have forgotten to link in the show notes, I found this article by Googling Christopher Nolan, Batman, article, Bruce Wayne dies.
By the way, you've just ensured that you will not link the article.
Cracked.com is probably actually better, because that's where the article is.
Yes.
If you look for that.
So, take the 2 minutes it takes to read this article, because it's pretty fascinating. So, essentially, the author uses the Prestige as a template for Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy. Correct me when I'm wrong, because you guys just read it, so I'm just kind of going from memory.
So they use the parts of The Prestige, which...
Mm-hmm. So if you've seen The Prestige, he ad nauseum repeats the three stages, which is the something,
the something, setup. The setup, the turn, and the prestige?
Yeah, I think it's... Whatever the... I don't know. I don't think the setup is the first one, but it's that's what it is.
Yeah.
So you want me to just look it up? It's right goddamn there. Maybe it is the setup. I thought it was a more mundane term, though, like the path or the way or shit's taking forever to load, so I have to continue. The pledge. There it is.
The pledge.
Okay. So basically the pledge is...
That's where you set the rules.
Yeah, you set the rules in the engagement. So if you dissect Inception's a fantastic single movie example of all three parts of this. So initially... Inception sets up the rules of the world. And you can see that on the train when they do the first dream dive with Ken Watanabe, mm-hmm. right? So then the turn happens when they go into the second dream, and then they have to do whatever. Like, they've got a whole bunch of other stuff that kind of takes the rules that they've already given you and bends them to the side a little bit. And then you get the prestige at the very end where they've not only bent the rules, but they've broken the rules. And they tell a completely different story from blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So Christopher Nolan kind of has that pattern. And he, if you watch the movie, they beat over your head ad nauseum that he does this. And if you watch The Prestige, it's actually kind of cool in the way that it's set up that way. But I don't want to spoil that because Jill hasn't seen
it. Yeah, because the end of the movie, they lay it all out for you again. How, through the course of the whole story, you've seen this happen over and over and over yep. again.
It's, I don't like the movie, but it's not, it's well done. It's kind of like Rollerball, the original. I don't like the movie, but it's well done.
I like The Prestige.
But
So I liked it, and it was well done, so double win for me.
Yeah, I guess.
You just suck.
Yeah, maybe. So, the author posits that the Batman trilogy is actually Nolan's three stages, and that the new Dark Knight Rises is going to be the prestige of that series. In that Batman Begins, we see the establishment of Batman, and we got the Bat Rules,
mm-hmm.
right? So in the turn, we find the resolution with Two-Face is in the established Bat Rules, Batman can no longer function as he is and has to change into what Bruce Wayne has always felt Batman was, and that's the symbol. As a symbol, I can't be corrupted, I can't be blah, 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 which is an interesting... That movie is a work of art, just hands down, because the dynamic between the symbol of Batman and Two-Face is just fantastic. That's a fantastic juxtaposition. So,
well, the symbol of Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
The
not Two-Face, Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and in the internal struggle with identity mm-hmm. with Bruce Wayne.
Right. And then the whole justice, corruption, that kind of... That movie's a work of art. If you don't know why, go listen to the episode. We talk about it for like 3 hours.
That's true.
So the author posits that the prestige of this is that Bruce Wayne is going to die, fulfilling his ultimate prophecy that the symbol cannot be corrupted because somebody else will take up the cowl. And it'll appear as though...
Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll appear as though Batman has never been killed or corrupted. It's just because the symbol is going to go on. How do you feel about that?
If that's the way he goes with it,
I'm 100% in.
I will pay any amount of money for the rest of my life for any movie that Christopher Nolan even like looks at.
Let me ask you a question.
Vague general direction.
Let me ask you a question. Do you already feel that way? Is there a movie that Christopher Nolan was going to do that you're not going to see?
No.
Does he not have that social capital built with you?
Season of the Witch.
I would watch it.
I would watch it.
Christopher Nolan? Oh, he would make it good. Or he would make it so bad.
That it would be meta.
That it would be good.
Yeah, he would make it exceptional. Either exceptionally good or exceptionally bad, and I would want to see it either way.
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't think there is. I mean, he's got a lot of clout with me at this point.
Right. I mean, after Memento, after The Prestige, after Inception. I mean,
Insomnia, Inception.
Even if you took out all of that and just looked at Batman and Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, because Batman Begins was all right. It wasn't spectacular. But Dark Knight was... That movie is a goddamn work of art.
It was epic.
Yeah, I mean, it is like, in the truest sense of the word, it is epic.
Yeah, I think that's one way they could go with it. I think there's other ways he could go with it. If he goes this way with it, I'm actually fine with that.
Yeah. This is the way I want him to go. I mean, because I think this is the perfect... Because he's already said that he's not doing a fourth movie.
Right.
It is a true trilogy, and that he plans on ending it after this movie.
Yeah.
Tony, come on! I thought you were a professional.
Made you think that.
That beard?
That
beard is like a degree on the face. Let's everybody know that you mean business.
See,
first off, so important you don't have time to shave.
Yeah, I said that first, and Mer Lafferty stole that from me. I said it at Dragon Con, and she stole it because she's a bitch. That's what happened. I guarantee it. That is a fact. Because we were at breakfast, and she was at the table next to us, and I said it, and then she tweeted it, and I was like, son of a bitch. That woman just plagiarized me, and I'm sitting right here. Fuck. Anyway.
Anyway. I think one of the problems that I don't think Nolan has addressed yet with Batman as a character, with Bruce Wayne / Batman as a character, is the resolution of the story. If he truly wants to resolve the story of Bruce Wayne
mm-hmm.
and Batman,
yep.
he can do this, but I think he also needs to come to a point of resolution with Bruce Wayne and the death of his parents.
But the death of his parents is always the worst part of the Batman story.
I know. And it's...
Don't make this a full circle thing.
I'm not making it a full circle.
It sounds like you're making it a full circle thing.
No.
Because you always see that every Batman story begins with a dark alley and a yeah. young Bruce Wayne. And
everyone does. And
voiceovers.
So I was at Comic-Con in Chicago.
Cool. My name's Tony. I went to Comic-Con.
In 91.
91?
Batman's been around for a while, so I can still tell this story from 20 years ago.
Nope, new
Fuck
thing.
Fuck you. So I went to a panel about writing characters, and one of the writers of Batman at the time was kind of laying out what he did when he approached certain characters, because you're not writing original characters when you write comic books. You have established characters that you have to approach.
Right, you got a set of boundaries that you have to stay within.
Right, and so he said the first thing he does is he goes through and has a series of questions that he asks about the character to just kind of establish a point of reference for that character.
Right.
And he says something that always stuck with me, and it was one of the questions he asked is, what is this character most afraid of? And so somebody asked him flat out, What do you think Batman is most afraid of? And his answer was, I think he's afraid that he has gotten over the death of his parents. Because the death of his parents so defines him and so defines his mission that if he ever becomes okay with it,
there's no fuel.
There's nothing there.
His motivation disappears.
He can then just go and be a normal person.
But here's the thing about the dead parents.
And that's the gayest part
of Batman.
But see, then it scares him that he's not normal. That he is driven and he is just as psychotic as the people he puts away.
I don't have a problem with coming to grips with, hey, I've never done this because I was broken up with my parents. I've always done this because I wanted to. And that's creepy.
But that's
I don't
not
have
the,
a problem with
but
that.
But see, that's not the character. I think there has to be some kind of resolution. If Nolan is really going to end this trilogy, I think that 50-50. Question has to be.
50-50.
I see where you're coming from. The death of the parents is something everybody can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people can relate with just someone being constantly angry at the world.
Well,
first off,
I don't think we've all seen Falling Down.
I don't think that Batman is
that wrestling. Is a one-time shot thing. This is a guy who's sustaining this anger for decades.
It's not even anger, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think Batman's angry. Like, I don't think you make rational choices. Like, I will become the symbol that people fear and allow Harvey Dent's name to go untarnished because you're angry. Like, that's not an angry decision. That's a well thought out.
It's a very rationalized. Yes, yeah, it's a very rationalized.
Yeah, anger and rationalizations don't.
All right, really well, let's change the name. Anger is too strong a term. Go back to what Tony said. Driven.
Right.
I think that's the piece. I mean, they actually, and I can't remember if it was in Outliers or Talent Code, they've actually studied successful people, and one of the factors, or one of the commonalities, is the loss of a parent at a very young age.
A trauma of some sort.
Yeah.
A great trauma.
Yeah.
Really?
And that tends to be
Disney
a motivator.
Disney has taught us that great heroes lose a parent early.
Well, yeah,
you know what that tells me, Tony? You're ruining your kids' lives. By being alive,
I know.
And it's not sad. Anger. Mm-hmm. It's more that they learn very early that life is fleeting. And that is the motivator.
Okay,
is
in other
they
words,
want
live life to the fullest.
And accomplish stuff fast.
Yes.
And so it's not anger or fear. It's you got to do it now.
Right. Well,
and
it's a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
They understand mortality.
You know,
younger.
And so, I mean, and that's been around, I mean, for a while, and that so that could be the threat. And
yeah, Batman got a dual case of that. Then he had to grow up with Alfred, which I'm sure was weird. Although, if it's Michael Caine Alfred, it could be awesome. Pastor Bruce, it's your 15th birthday. I got you a pack of hookers and blow. Now you're a man.
Let me tell you stories about when I was in the war.
Yeah.
What we used to do to relax.
Oh, now you made it weird. So, I think no matter what Nolan does, I'm going to be on board. Like, I'm trying to envision a scenario in which Nolan, like, royally fucks up Batman and cannot get there.
Nope.
Like, because what he's gotten so far, I will accept any scenario. If he just, in the end, halfway through the movie, he's like, I don't want to be Batman anymore. I think I'm done. I'd be like, yeah, I can see it.
Or leaves it open.
Yeah. Yeah, like I would be fine. I hate ambiguous endings. I would accept a Batman ambiguous ending.
Well, it's a serialized story, so having an ambiguous ending for something that has ultimately always been a serialized story is kind of true to the medium.
It would also be rather, it would be almost a little too trite. I mean, the really daring thing would be to end it, boom, and that's it.
But if
I don't disagree.
That would be very. That
yeah,
would be
and
a very
that
bold
my
move.
My concern is that it becomes, you know, another version of Captain America. I mean, he exists over time and is just replaced by another person.
I would be fine.
But that
with
only
that.
Happened. That only happened recently in the comic books, and that was poorly done.
Tell me, nobody reads comic books.
That's not true.
It's close to being true.
No, it's not even near.
I think if we looked at relative population and reading comic books, I think it's pretty close to being true.
No. I refuse to accept that theory.
Here's what I don't want him to do. I don't want him to comic book up the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think Christopher Nolan would do that.
I don't think that's a concern at this point.
I don't think Christopher Nolan would ever do that.
No.
But, and by that I mean that he would remove all consequences in, like, a la Smallville. Like, every episode something happens, but then somebody gets knocked out and forgets. Like, that is the worst shit ever.
I think that we have a fear of that happening from, like, what happened with...
Because we've been burned too many times.
We were burned with Spider-Man.
All three times.
We were burned with Spider-Man.
And we're going to be burned with Spider-Man again.
The first two movies were good. The third one wasn't. Because the third one had the elements of being a great movie. Until the studio got a hold of it and forced things into the movie that had no business being there.
Yeah.
The first two X-Men movies were fantastic. The third one was shit.
Tony, that third movie was not as bad. Just go back. Zero context from the first two.
All context away from the first two movies and just watch
and,
the third
and
one.
And forget everything you know about the Dark Phoenix saga. Just forget it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
If you watch the third X-Men movie in a vacuum, if that was the first X-Men movie... I would have been pleased with that.
And you know what? You know what it suffers from? It suffers from too much canon, which is a comic book problem.
The weight of its own history.
Wait a minute. No.
Oh, yeah.
It suffered from canon from the first two movies, though.
Also the Dark Phoenix shit, because people are like, oh, Dark Phoenix is going to be awesome. And then it sucked, and people are like, but it was so awesome in the comics. Yeah, well, this wasn't the comics. Get over it.
They didn't even try to make a decent story out of it.
Oh, you're not getting any disagreements from me.
Well, like, again, fan expectations are raised so
but
high.
But they also like broke their own rules in the context of the movie.
Yeah.
They like changed powers halfway through the movie. The
movie was not good.
Well, I think one factor too with Batman is Christian Bale too and his integrity. If you look at the movie choices he's made, it's because he believes in the project and he's interested in the character.
Oh, yeah.
And I would believe that he would not sign on to this for any amount of money in the world.
We saw that in a recent movie we just did, The Mechanic, where he...
Oh, my God.
The Machinist.
Yeah, The Machinist.
You had to be all in on that in order to do that to your own body.
I mean, in all the
that's
movies.
That's what he is in every movie.
Yeah, and so that's a factor for me that would lend me to believe that the movie is going to be good and pick up where the second one
Yeah, I mean, Nolan's already got that credibility with me. I mean, Inception is not a movie that you make because the studio wants you to make it. Like, Memento is not a movie you make because you want the prestige of having made it. I mean, Memento is a complicated movie.
Yeah.
Inception is a complicated movie.
Right,
and
you
it's
have
not,
to really watch it and pay attention.
Yeah, and it's not accessible. Those are not accessible movies. Those are complicated movies. Memento and Inception are not accessible movies.
I think Inception you can, on a very superficial level, experience that movie more so than Memento. Memento,
Inception's a lot easier to watch because there's stuff going in the right direction. Memento is a complicated movie that is not accessible. And I don't have a problem with the director.
I don't think I could say that it's not accessible.
Inception or Memento?
Either one.
Memento is complicated to watch.
It's complicated to watch.
I went to go see it with a couple people, and they didn't get it. And I was like,
"Does anybody pay
attention?" I can understand that. Yeah. I can understand how some people wouldn't get it, but to call it inaccessible, I think is.
I don't see how if some people don't get it, it's not. I
do think there's a large population.
Yeah, but I don't.
Of people
some
who
people
just
don't get
go for a ride.
Yeah, some people
and they
didn't
don't
get.
Think.
Some people
yeah,
didn't get the usual
fact,
suspects. Some people didn't get. You know. Unless there are some people that need to be spoon-fed things.
Well, yeah, that's why
that's
we
I'm
have
saying.
So many crappy
that's
movies
what,
out there. That's why we got
saying.
Movies like
Mental
Season of the Witch.
Inception are not accessible. Accessible
there's
is
plenty of stuff just for
people
them.
People walk in and they get it.
See, I'm not buying that.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. You think that Inception or Memento was more accessible than Watchmen?
I didn't say that.
No, but you're
but
telling
you're,
me that
not,
they are
now
accessible.
You're qualifying accessible.
Is it best accessible or favorite accessible?
I'm lost
you
now.
Are an asshole.
I have a best five movies list and a favorite five movies list, and they think I'm an idiot.
Well, I think there's a difference between a movie and a film.
Well,
that might be my.
I'm
best
not doing. I'm not doing another five list, like two five movie lists, five movie films lists.
Well, but I think that for me, that's the distinction.
Okay.
Film is something
that is an artistic quality
that you can actually look at, digest, discuss, and critique. That has merit beyond just the experience.
It's just the
Boom.
Essential experience.
Yes.
It's a work of art.
Where
there's a discussion. There's
where
there's a
movie,
a permanence.
A flick is something you can go experience. It's enjoyable, but it's like a roller coaster ride.
8 days a
or
week.
We make flicks
yes.
art here.
No, we don't do that.
We make flicks.
I mean, it takes. It's good.
We don't do much.
It's satisfying.
Yeah, it's a fun experience.
We need to drink more. Apparently.
Yeah. Well, we stopped doing that because I live too far away.
That's mostly true. All right. So the point I was making is you're using.
I wasn't listening. Go ahead.
You're using. An absolute accessible and accessible.
You're right, I am.
And I think using it as an absolute is a misstatement.
I think they are
less accessible than a movie like Season of the Witch. Even though there are parts of Season of the Witch that don't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Most people aren't thinking about it that hard.
No. No.
The only reason we thought about it that hard is because we had 35 minutes to fill in a podcast to talk about it. No one else thought about Season of the Witch beyond 5 minutes after they saw it.
True.
Except if they demanded their money back, which I suspect happened with some regularity.
Maybe.
Did moderately well in the box office, didn't it?
It's Nicolas
Cage. It did.
How can you go wrong?
Of course, they didn't spend a lot on it either.
It didn't do that good.
Well, let's put it this way: it was not. They didn't. The studio didn't spend a gazillion bucks on it. They only spent $40 million on the whole film.
Well, here's my pitch to
and
Hollywood.
And they still broke even on it.
Here's my pitch to Hollywood: if you have a movie like *Season of the Witch*, if you give me $10,000, I will edit it and make it decent. Because there are some pretty quick changes you could make to the script to have made it a better movie. Substantially better movie.
Yeah.
More lines for Ron Perlman.
More lines for Ron Perlman.
Cutting out the scene of the hanging.
Telegraphing all the story.
Getting rid of that goddamn bridge.
Getting rid of the bridge.
Or at least
completely.
Or at least turning the bridge into something cooler. Like, have it be a covered bridge, and then have there be some sort of depth to the scene. Like, you are literally going through a tunnel and emerging elsewhere in the quest.
You know what would have been cool about that bridge is if it was just a little bit less broken down, and if they're getting the cage halfway across, like a storm is there.
Oh, what is it with you and storms?
I don't know. But
this is weird X-Men storm.
God battling the devil.
Yeah. Well, it would have been a little more of this, is this supernatural or was this just a freak occurrence? Because they did too much with just flat out saying it's supernatural, it's supernatural, it's supernatural. If they would have made it more a mystery, I would have been better with the end being that supernatural.
Tell me they artificially add a reflection to everybody's eyes at every scene of the movie. I mean, don't get more subtle than that.
Sparkles?
Seriously. Go back. I know you're not going to go back and watch it, but with every single scene, there is a shine in everybody's eyes.
Are you kidding?
Every single scene.
Now I have to go back and look because I didn't
notice. Every single scene. And it's like in the middle of the woods when the wolves are attacking and there's no light. Everybody's eyes have a shine. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Most of those are just blue screen. I mean, scene with the priest in the beginning.
I'm absolutely convinced they went back and digitally added the shine. Oh, yeah. It's like no reason for it either.
They could have added more complexity in terms of the journey, in terms of.
Yeah, I mean, because a journey is a goddamn metaphor.
Yes, they should have gone back and watched Wages of Fear first in Aura.
What is that?
It's a similar story, but maybe that's one we can review sometimes. There's actually two remakes.
Just gone back and watched a Lord of the Rings and then stolen wholesale all the elements of a journey that make it tense, and then just done that a bunch. Yeah. Fire,
blood,
fire everywhere.
Well, I think that's why they put in the bridge, on fire. Though, they had to kind of artificially come up with some sort of challenge.
Right. Yeah, and that was the problem with the bridge. It felt too artificial.
Well, the whole thing was contrived.
Way too contrived.
Howling to alert the wolves.
Oh,
come on!
That was the best part.
Yeah, this movie did not do well.
$25 million, Tony. How much did it make, or how much did it cost?
$10 million opening day.
Which is terrible.
I think they.
That $10 million includes me and Melina's ticket.
Oh,
no joke.
I saw in IMDb it was about $40 million to make.
$40 million.
That sounds like bullshit.
Production budget of $40 million. Domestic total domestic gross of 25, just under 25.
Worldwide, though, look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Foreign gross
$66 million.
So it was commercial success, if not artistic.
No, actually, in box office sales alone, it did not break even. Because you figure only about a 60%.
Jesus, look at this. Christopher Lee got a mention as an actor.
Yeah.
He was in it for, he had like two lines.
Got paid.
But it's Christopher Lee, so if you can put his name in it.
Did you see this? Nathan did not get listed as an actor. He had a whole bunch more lines. God damn, this fits as good.
It's Tony, it's the number seven witch movie of all time.
Tony, why are you not watching Misfits over there?
I'm still catching up on other things.
Why do you hate good TV?
Why do you hate good TV?
Sons of Anarchy sucks, Tony.
Oh my God, it sucks so bad.
No.
You are so wrong about that.
So bad.
You just don't like it because Melina does.
No, that is absolutely not what happened. So I watched like three episodes, and so they're like these letters thing, and so I'm watching where Melina is. The goddamn letters thing is still not resolved after three fucking seasons.
Four, and it is resolved.
Only as of yesterday.
No.
No.
It was resolved
last week's part one. Jax finally reads the letters. That's not a resolution. He hasn't completed any action based on that yet. So that is four full seasons to get him the letters. That storytelling is at a glacial pace.
No.
And I hate Ireland. Fuck Ireland.
Wow, that was four episodes in season three.
That was another one.
Half
of season
three.
No, it was
really
four.
Kind of interesting too.
That's how we pitched
What's
it to
that?
Me, and I was like, "That
the,
sounds
the
like
the threat
balls.
Of Shakespeare throughout
oh,
it is kind of an.
Well,
I mean,
it's Hamlet.
Yeah,
it's Hamlet from the beginning.
Don't say that, Tony.
It is.
Don't say that.
That was part of the marketing of the show.
That was your pitch to me, and I was like, "Oh, I'll watch this." And then I was like, "Fuck, Tony,
it's Hamlet.
You fed me the shit sandwich.
It is Hamlet.
I'm not saying it's not. At no point am I disagreeing with you, but that doesn't make it good.
You were just so wrong about this. I don't know what else to say.
I tell you what, you watch Misfits and we'll talk.
Okay.
Are you going to watch
it? How many episodes is it?
11.
That's not even a whole season.
That's two full British seasons.
I know.
No, maybe it's more than that. 13? I thought the second season was longer, like 8 episodes.
I watched MI6. I know how long seasons are.
Tony, you don't know anything about it. We should review Coupling.
Okay.
I would do an episode by episode of Coupling. Have you seen Coupling? Mm-hmm. Oh my god. See Coupling. Coupling was one of the best television shows. The Giggle Loop. Like if I had a top 5 best and favorite TV shows, Arrested Development would be in this top 5 list, and Coupling would be on there, and I don't know which one would be higher. It could kind of like go back and forth. It depends on what they do with the new stuff with Arrested Development.
Have you seen the British version of The Office?
Yes.
Yes.
Steve Carell is more awkward.
I don't know.
There's a cultural distance I find with the British office.
Is it really like that over there or not?
I don't know. I don't work in a British office. I relate more to the American office because I work in an American office.
See, I don't see them being a whole lot different.
Hmm.
But
maybe you're just not as racially sensitive as I am, Tony.
Apparently, I'm not.
Pretty sure that you hate
that
minorities.
That's what I heard. That makes you racist. More racist than me.
I don't think that's how that works.
If you're more racially sensitive?
Yeah, sensitive
I'm
to other races.
I'm not looking for it.
The
you're the one looking for the differences. I'm not.
Tony, I don't see any color.
I don't see a difference between white people over there and white people over here. I don't see a difference. None.
You going to tell us about your black friend, too? You don't have one.
My black friend died.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's my move. You not have any black friends? My black friend died. And it's a fact. That's what happened. He was also my gay friend.
Well, you were covered on both bases there.
Yeah, I was.
You lost a twofer that day.
Yeah. If he was Jewish, he would have been like the ultimate minority.
Oh my god.
And handicapped.
He was very fat. So.
Dang.
Alright, so
give him a ride.
Season of the Witch is done, and the Batman thing is done for now.
Yep. We'll have to see how this all plays out when it comes out.
Yeah. Then we'll do a best and favorite Batman movie.
But I don't think that's going to be all that hard.
No. I don't think this new movie is going to be as good as Dark Knight. Dark Knight is like the pinnacle of filmmaking. It's not the best movie ever made. But it is like
right before
it's
the crash.
It's up there.
It's way up there. It's still not my favorite Batman movie to
watch.
It's
the last camp spot before you hit the peak.
What's your favorite?
Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, Mask of the Phantasm was so good.
It's heartbreaking that is not available on Blu-ray yet.
Yeah, that is pretty bad. Have you seen Under the Red Hood?
That's a great one.
That one's fantastic, too. They did something right with those animated Batman movies.
That's a great one, but I still like Mask of the Phantasm better.
Oh, Mask of the Phantasm is much better.
And it touches that note of me of Bruce Wayne could put the cowl down and just be a person, and Mask of the Phantasm touches on that.
Yeah,
and I like that.
So do I.
That's why I would like to see it in this new Nolan movie. And if he goes there, that could make this my favorite.
I like reasonable characters. This movie's gonna be like 8 years after Dark Knight, though. So, you don't make a movie in which a whole bunch of time passes if you don't intend to do some crazy shit with the personality and then see the result.
Yeah.
Like, if...
Well, they need to, considering the first two movies take place...
Sequentially.
Like, yeah.
There's
no
break.
In the span of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a huge passage of time through the course of Batman Begins.
Oh, yeah. Like, half the movie's a flashback.
Right. But between the two movies, there's almost no time.
Yeah. So, what I hope is they steal some pages from Dark Knight Returns, and 8 years later, Bruce Wayne's fucking crazy. That would be awesome.
You know what?
He was
I hope
a wild dog that has to be put down. That shit would be great.
You know what I hope happens is that somewhere they have Nolan and Bale under secret contract that 40 years from now they will come back and make Dark Knight Returns.
That shit would be awesome. Dark Knight Returns was great.
But I understand
your complaints about the Superman.
But have Nolan and Goyer rewrite it so it un-Frank Millerizes it.
I like Frank Miller, even though he's a dickbag.
He can't write.
I don't need him to write. 300 didn't need a writer. You know what it needed? Mostly naked dudes spearing Persians.
And more Gerard Butler.
Yeah, that's all it needed. And you know what it delivered? Mostly naked dudes.
That's true.
Spearing Persians.
That happened.
I read this article about Miller made a whole bunch of anti-Occupy Wall Street statements.
Yeah.
So then, like, this
he
dude wrote
crazy statements.
Yeah, for that guy needs to calm down. But one of the dude's rebuttals to his comments were, "Frank Miller's an idiot. 300 sucked. I mean, it really sucked." I'm like, what the fuck does this have to do with, like, separate the creator from the content, dude? Like, this has nothing to do with what he said.
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, I wonder what Frank Miller said. And then I read some of the comments that he made. It was like, this is just wacky. Regardless of what side of the issue you're on,
yeah,
the stuff he said was just insane.
Yeah. Just like, you need to calm down. And so, like, well, it was a cooler story about the naval battle at the when the Spartans were holding Thermopylae. Yeah, okay, that's not the story told. So, like, is your criticism seriously? He didn't tell a different story?
The Battle of Thermopylae had nothing to do with a naval battle.
Battle of Slavos.
Well, they were holding off the Persian forces, so that
they were holding off the Persian land forces.
Right.
And then in, like, the sea right next to it, there was a huge naval battle.
Well, yeah, but
but
specifically,
that's
the Battle
not
of
the
Thermopylae
story.
Had
that's,
nothing to do with
yeah,
that.
That's not the story told.
Right.
So it's like, your criticism is he didn't tell a different story. That's not a criticism.
And the story he told wasn't completely about the Battle of Thermopylae.
Yeah.
So
it was a little bit of embellishment, too. I mean,
it was a lot of embellishment.
Yeah,
but
that's
I mean, come on. Let's be fair. It was a lot of embellishment.
Well, Tony, I actually look like that when I take off this sweater.
I know.
All right. I'm fair meter. I got the one.
Breaks out the airbrush.
Yeah, I got the one eye though. That's the downfall. Take off the sweater, I lose an eye. All right, I got. I don't really have anything on this to begin with. All right, so
let's wrap this up.
I guess I got nothing now. So
all right, next week, Heather's
net so zero.
Thank you, Jill, for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. It was fun. Looking forward to next.
Excellent.
Week.
Yes,
Heather's. Well, maybe Molina will like it and want to come out.
Okay.
Oh, I might power win a Skyrim game bundle. If I hadn't already bought it, that would be attractive.
All right.
That's
it.
We'll see y'all next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Sorry, this show is exhausting.